tonight, Tom makes an impassioned plea. In just a moment, the drama is episode 2 of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. First, though, Leslie Kirwan is here with a look ahead to Moneybox Live.
Thanks, Charles. As fresh evidence emerges about the pressures on care homes, we're looking at the rising cost of social care in the UK and the effects on individuals. Is the funding of social care adequate? Is it time for an overhaul of the system? Should we simply expect to get less care from the state, or should we be prepared to pay more in tax or national insurance? Is insurance for the cost of long-term care a viable option? Whatever your comment or question, call 03 700 100 444. Moneybox Live at just after 3. The lines are open right now. That number again, 03 700 100 444.
Leslie, thank you. And later on this afternoon, a former chairman of the BBC, Chris Patten, will be a guest on The Media Show. He says that the BBC's independence is at risk and that the Culture Secretary, John Whittingdale, is a member of a juvenile ideological fringe who, if given half a chance, will do the BBC real damage. Well, Chris Patten will be explaining his point of view at 4:30. There's also a look ahead to the launch this coming weekend of Robert Peston's new politics show on ITV and a review of the BBC's progress on diversity. The Media Show with Steve Hewlett is at 4:30. But now, as part of the BBC Shakespeare Festival, the second part of our new production of Shakespeare's great political drama, Julius Caesar. The Ides of March are come, and the conspirators gather at the Capitol.
Heaven nor earth have been at peace tonight. Thrice hath Calpurnia in her sleep cried out, "Help, ho, they murder Caesar." Who's within?
My lord.
Go bid the priests do present sacrifice and bring me their opinions of success.
I will, my lord.
What mean you, Caesar? Think you to walk forth? You shall not stir out of your house today.
Caesar shall forth. The things that threatened me ne'er looked but on my back. When they shall see the face of Caesar, they are vanished.
Caesar, I never stood on ceremonies, yet now they fright me. There is one within, beside the things that we have heard and seen, recounts most horrid sights seen by the watch. A lioness hath whelped in the streets, and graves have yawned and yielded up their dead. Fierce, fiery warriors fought upon the clouds in ranks and squadrons and right form of war, which drizzled blood upon the Capitol. The noise of battle hurtled in the air. Horses did neigh, and dying men did groan, and ghosts did shriek and squeal about the streets. Oh, Caesar, these things are beyond all use, and I do fear them.
What can be avoided whose end is purposed by the mighty gods? Yet Caesar shall go forth, for these predictions are to the world in general as to Caesar.
No, when beggars die, there are no comets seen. The heavens themselves blaze forth the death of princes.
Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once. Of all the wonders that I yet have heard, it seems to me most strange that men should fear, seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it will come.
My lord?
What say the augurers?
They would not have you to stir forth today. Plucking the entrails of an offering forth, they could not find the heart within the beast.
The gods do this in shame of cowardice. Caesar should be a beast without a heart if he should stay at home today for fear. No, Caesar shall not. Danger knows full well that Caesar is more dangerous than he. We are two lions littered in one day, and I the elder and more terrible. And Caesar shall go forth.
Alas, my lord, your wisdom is consumed in confidence. Do not go forth today. Call it my fear that keeps you in the house and not your own. We'll send Mark Antony to the Senate House, and he shall say you are not well today. Let me upon my knee prevail in this.
Mark Antony shall say I am not well, and for thy humour, I will stay at home.
Caesar, all hail!
Here's Decius Brutus, he shall tell them so.
Good morrow, worthy Caesar.
I come to fetch you to the Senate House.
And you are come in very happy time to bear my greeting to the senators and tell them that I will not come today. Cannot is false, and that I dare not falser. I will not come today. Tell them so, Decius.
Say he is sick.
Shall Caesar send a lie? Have I in conquest stretched mine arm so far to be afeard to tell greybeards the truth? Decius, go tell them Caesar will not come.
Most mighty Caesar, let me know some cause, lest I be laughed at when I tell them so.
The cause is in my will. I will not come. That is enough to satisfy the Senate. But for your private satisfaction, because I love you, I will let you know. Calpurnia here, my wife, stays me at home. She dreamt tonight she saw my statue, which like a fountain with 100 spouts did run pure blood, and many lusty Romans came smiling and did bathe their hands in it. And these she does apply for warnings and portents and evils imminent, and on her knee hath begged that I will stay at home today.
This dream is all a misinterpreted. It was a vision fair and fortunate. Your statue, spouting blood in many pipes, in which so many smiling Romans bathed, signifies that from you great Rome shall suck reviving blood, and that great men shall press for tinctures, stains, relics, and cognizance. This by Calpurnia's dream is signified.
And this way have you well expounded it.
I have, when you have heard what I can say, and know it now. The Senate have concluded to give this day a crown to mighty Caesar. If you shall send them word you will not come, their minds may change. Besides, it were a mock apt to be rendered for someone to say, break up the Senate till another time, when Caesar's wife shall meet with better dreams. If Caesar hide himself, shall they not whisper, lo, Caesar is afraid? Pardon me, Caesar, for my dear, dear love to our proceeding bids me tell you this, and reason to my love is liable.
How foolish do your fears seem now, Calpurnia. I am ashamed I did yield to them. Give me my robe, for I will go. And look where Publius is come to fetch me.
Good morrow, Caesar.
Welcome, Publius. What, Brutus, are you stirred so early too? Good morrow, Casca.
My lord.
Caius Ligarius.
Caesar?
Caesar was ne'er so much your enemy as that same ague which hath made you lean. What is the clock?
Caesar, 'tis struck an 8.
I thank you for your pains and courtesy. See, Antony, that revels longer nights, is notwithstanding up. Good morrow, Antony.
So to most noble Caesar.
Bid them prepare within. I am to blame to be thus waited for. Now, sinner. Now, Metellus. What, Trebonius? I have an hour's talk in store for you. Remember that you call on me today. Be near me, that I may remember you.
Caesar, I will.
So near will I be that your best friends shall wish I'd been further.
Good friends, go in and taste some wine with me. And we, like friends, will straightway go together.
Caesar, beware of Brutus. Take heed of Cassius. Come not near Casca. Have an eye to Cinna. Trust not Trebonius. Mark well Metellus Cimber. Decius Brutus loves thee not. Thou hast wronged Caius Ligarius. There is but one mind in all these men, and it is bent against Caesar. If thou be'st not immortal, look about you. Security gives way to conspiracy. The mighty gods defend thee. Thy lover, Artemidorus. Here will I stand till Caesar pass along, and as a suitor will I give him this. My heart laments that virtue cannot live out of the teeth of emulation. If thou read this, O Caesar, thou mayst live. If not, the fates with traitors do contrive.
I prithee, boy, run to the Senate House. Stay not to answer me, but get thee gone. Why dost thou stay?
To know my errand, madam.
I would have had thee there and here again, ere I can tell thee what thou shouldst do there. Oh, Constancy, be strong upon my side. Set a huge mountain between my heart and tongue. I have a man's mind, but a woman's might. How hard it is for women to keep counsel. Art thou here yet?
Madam, what should I do? Run to the capital and nothing else? And so return to you and nothing else?
Yes, bring me word, boy, if thy lord look well. For he went sickly forth. And take good note what Caesar doth, what suitors press to him. Hark, boy, what noise is that?
I hear none, madam.
Oh, prithee, listen well. I heard a bustling rumour, like a fray. And the wind brings it from the capital.
Sooth, madam, I hear nothing.
Come hither, fellow. Which way hast thou been?
At mine own house, good lady.
What is the clock?
About the ninth hour, lady.
Is Caesar yet gone to the capital?
Madam, not yet. I go to take my stand, to see him pass on to the capital.
Thou hast some suit to Caesar, hast thou not?
That I have, lady. If it will please Caesar to be so good to Caesar as to hear me, I shall beseech him to befriend himself.
Why? Knowest thou any harms intended towards him?
None that I know will be. Much that I fear may chance. Good morrow to you.
I must go in. Ay me, how weak a thing the heart of woman is. Oh, Brutus, the heavens speed thee in thine enterprise. Sure, the boy heard me. Brutus hath a suit that Caesar will not grant. Oh, I grow faint. Run, Lucius, commend me to my lord.
Madam.
Say I am merry, and come to me again, and bring me word what he doth say to thee.
Here the street is narrow. The throng that follows Caesar at the heels of senators, of praetors, common suitors, will crowd a feeble man almost to death. I'll get me to a place more void, and there speak to great Caesar as he comes along.
Tides of March are come.
Aye, Caesar, but not gone.
Hail Caesar, read the
shirt. Trebonius doth desire you to o'erread at your best leisure this, his humble suit.
Oh, Caesar, read mine first, for mine's a suit that touches Caesar nearer. Read it, great Caesar.
What touches us ourself shall be last, sir.
Delay not, Caesar, read it instantly.
What, is the fellow mad?
Hero, give place.
What, urge you your petitions in the street? Come to the capital!
Cassius, I wish your enterprise today may thrive.
What enterprise, Papilius?
Fare you well.
What said Papilius Lena?
He wished today our enterprise might thrive. I fear our purpose is discovered.
Look how he makes to Caesar. Mark him.
Casca, be sudden, for we fear prevention. Brutus, what shall be done if this be known? Cassius or Caesar never shall turn back, for I will slay myself.
Cassius, be constant, for Papilius Lena speaks not of our purposes. For look, he smiles, and Caesar doth not change.
Trebonius knows his time, for look you, Brutus. He draws Mark Antony out of the way.
Where is Metellus Cimber? Let him go and presently prefer his suit to Caesar.
Are we all ready? What is now amiss that Caesar and his Senate must redress?
Most high, most mighty, and most puissant Caesar, Metellus Cimber throws before thy seat an humble heart.
I must prevent thee, Cimber. These kneelings and these lowly courtesies might fire the blood of ordinary men and turn preordinance and first decree into the law of children. Be not fond to think that Caesar bears such rebel blood that will be thawed from the true quality with that which melteth fools. I mean sweet words, low crooked curtsies, and base spaniel fawnings. Thy brother, by decree, is banished. If thou dost bend and pray and fawn for him, I spurn thee like a cur out of my way. No, Caesar doth never wrong, but with just cause.
Is there no voice more worthy than my own to sound more sweetly in great Caesar's ear for the repealing of my banished brother?
I kiss thy hand, but not in flattery, Caesar. Desiring thee that Publius Cimber may have an immediate freedom of repeal.
Whoa.
Brutus.
Pardon, Caesar! Caesar, pardon! As low as to thy foot doth Cassius fall, to beg enfranchisement for Publius Cimber.
I could be well moved if I were as you. If I could pray to move, prayers would move me. But I am constant as the northern star, of whose true fixed and resting quality there is no fellow in the firmament. The skies are painted with unnumbered sparks. They are all fire, and every one doth shine. But there's but one in all doth hold his place. So in the world, 'tis furnished well with men, and men are flesh and blood and apprehensive. Yet in the number I do know but one, that unassailable holds on his rank, unshaked of motion, and that I am he. Let me a little show it, even in this, that I was constant. Cimber should be banished, and constant do remain to keep him so.
Oh, Caesar!
Hence wilt thou lift up Olympus?
Great Caesar!
Doth not Brutus bootless kneel?
Speak, hands for me.
Et tu, Brute? Then fall, Caesar.
Liberty. Freedom. Tyranny is dead. Run hence. Proclaim. Cry it about the streets.
Come to the common pulpits and cry out. Liberty, freedom, and enfranchisement.
People and senators, be not affrighted. Fly not, stand still. Ambition's debt is paid.
Go to the pulpit, Brutus.
And Cassius, too.
Where's Publius?
Here, quite confounded with this mutiny.
Stand fast together. That some friend of Caesar should chance to talk. Not of standing. Publius, good cheer. There is no harm intended to your person, nor to no Roman else. So tell them, Publius.
And leave us, Publius, lest that the people rushing on us should do your age some mischief.
Do so, and let no man abide this deed but we, the doers.
Brutus!
Trebonius! Where is Antony?
Fled to his house, amazed. Men, wives, and children stare, cry out and run as it were doomsday.
Fates, we will know your pleasures. That we shall die, we know. 'Tis but the time and drawing days out that men stand upon.
Why, he that cuts off 20 years of life cuts off so many years of fearing death.
Grant that, and then is death a benefit. So are we Caesar's friends that have abridged his time of fearing death. Stoop, Romans, stoop. And let us bathe our hands in Caesar's blood up to the elbows and besmear our swords. Then walk we forth even to the marketplace and waving our red weapons o'er our heads, let's all cry, peace, freedom, and liberty.
Stoop then, and wash.
How many ages hence shall this, our lofty scene, be acted over in states unborn and accents yet unknown?
How many times shall Caesar bleed in sport, that now on Pompey's basis lies along no worthier than the dust?
So oft as that shall be, so often shall the knot of us be called the men that gave their country liberty.
What, shall we forth?
Aye, every man away. Brutus shall lead, and we will grace his heels with the most boldest and best hearts of Rome.
Soft, who comes here? A friend of Antony's.
Thus, Brutus, did my master bid me kneel. Thus did Mark Antony bid me fall down, and being prostrate, thus he bade me say. Brutus is noble, wise, valiant, and honest. Caesar was mighty, bold, royal, and loving. Say I love Brutus, and I honor him. Say I feared Caesar, honored him, and loved him. If Brutus will vouchsafe that Antony may safely come to him, and be resolved how Caesar hath deserved to lie in death,
Mark Antony shall not love Caesar dead so well as Brutus living, but will follow the fortunes and affairs of noble Brutus, thorough the hazards of this untrod state, with all true faith. So says my master Antony.
Thy master is a wise and valiant Roman. I never thought him worse. Tell him, so please him, come unto this place, he shall be satisfied, and by my honour depart untouched.
I'll fetch him presently.
I know that we shall have him well to friend.
I wish we may, but yet I have a mind that fears him much, and my misgivings still fall shrewdly to the purpose.
But here comes Antony. Welcome, Mark Antony.
Oh, mighty Caesar, dost thou lie so low? Are all thy conquests, glories, triumphs, spoils shrunk to this little measure? Fare thee well. I know not, gentlemen, what you intend. Who else must be let blood? Who else is rank? If I myself, there is no hour so fit as Caesar's death hour, nor no instrument of half that worth as those your swords, made rich with the most noble blood of all this world. I do beseech you, if you bear me hard, now, whilst your purpled hands do reek and smoke, fulfill your pleasure. Live 1,000 years, I shall not find myself so apt to die. No place will please me so, no mean of death, as here, by Caesar, and by you cut off, the choice and master spirits of this age.
Oh, Antony, beg not your death of us. Though now we must appear bloody and cruel, as by our hands and this our present act, you see we do, yet see you but our hands and this the bleeding business they have done. Our hearts you see not. They are pitiful. And pity to the general wrong of Rome, as fire drives out fire, so pity, pity hath done this deed on Caesar. For your part, to you our swords have leaden points, Mark Antony. Our arms in strength of malice and our hearts of brother's temper do receive you in with all kind love, good thoughts, and reverence.
Your voice shall be as strong as any man's in the disposing of new dignities.
Only be patient till we have appeased the multitude beside themselves with fear, and then we will deliver you the cause.
Why, I, that did love Caesar when I struck him, have thus proceeded.
Let each man render me his bloody hand. First, Marcus Brutus, will I shake with you. Next, Caius Cassius, do I take your hand?
Mark Antony.
Now, Decius Brutus, yours. Now yours,
my lord.
Metellus, yours, Cinna. And my valiant Casca, yours. And though last, not last in love, yours, good Trebonius. Gentlemen all. Alas, what shall I say? My credit now stands on such slippery ground that one of two bad ways you must conceit me, either a coward or a flatterer. That I did love thee, Caesar, oh, 'tis true. If then thy spirit look upon us now, shall it not grieve thee dearer than thy death to see thy Antony making his peace, shaking the bloody fingers of thy foes, most noble, in the presence of thy corpse? Had I as many eyes as thou hast wounds, weeping as fast as they stream forth thy blood, it would become me better than to close in terms of friendship with thine enemies. Pardon me, Julius. Here wast thou bade, brave heart. Here didst thou fall, and here thy hunters stand, signed in thy spoil and crimsoned in thy lethe. Oh, world, thou wast the forest to this heart, and this indeed, O world, the heart of thee. How like a deer strucken by many princes dost thou here lie?
Mark Antony.
Pardon me. Caius Cassius, the enemies of Caesar shall say this. Then in a friend it is called modesty.
I blame you not for praising Caesar so, but what compact mean you to have with us? Will you be pricked in number of our friends, or shall we on and not depend on you?
Therefore I took your hands, but was indeed swayed from the point by looking down on Caesar. Friends am I with you all, and love you all, upon this hope that you shall give me reasons why and wherein Caesar was dangerous.
Or else were this a savage spectacle. Our reasons are so full of good regard that were you, Antony, the son of Caesar, you should be satisfied.
That's all I seek. And am moreover suitor that I may produce his body to the marketplace. and in the pulpit, as becomes a friend, speak in the order of his funeral.
You shall, Mark Antony.
Brutus, a word with you.
You know not what you do. Do not consent that Antony speak in his funeral. Know you how much the people may be moved by that which he will utter?
By your pardon, I will myself into the pulpit first and show the reasons of our Caesar's death. What Antony shall speak, I will protest he speaks by leave and by permission. And that we are contented, Caesar shall have all true rites and lawful ceremonies. It shall advantage more than do us wrong.
I know not what may fall. I like it not.
Mark Antony. Here, take you Caesar's body. You shall not in your funeral speech blame us, but speak all good you can devise of Caesar, and say you do it by our permission. Else shall you not have any hand at all about his funeral. And you shall speak in the same pulpit whereto I am going after my speech is ended.
Be it so. I do desire no more.
Prepare the body then and follow us.
Oh, pardon me. Thou bleeding piece of earth, that I am meek and gentle with these butchers. Thou art the ruins of the noblest man that ever lived in the tide of times. Woe to the hand that shed this costly blood. Over thy wounds now do I prophesy, which like dumb mouths do ope their ruby lips to beg the voice and utterance of my tongue. A curse shall light upon the limbs of men. Domestic fury and fierce civil strife shall cumber all the parts of Italy. Blood and destruction shall be so in use, and dreadful objects so familiar, that mothers shall but smile when they behold their infants quartered with the hands of war, all pity choked with custom of fell deeds, and Caesar's spirit ranging for revenge, with Ate by his side, come hot from hell, shall in these confines with a monarch's voice cry havoc, and let slip the dogs of war, that this foul deed shall smell above the earth, with carrion men groaning for burial.
My lord!
You serve Octavius Caesar, do you not?
I do, Mark Antony.
Caesar did right for him to come to Rome.
He did receive his letters and is coming, and bid me say to you by word of mouth that... Oh, Caesar!
Thy heart is big. Get thee apart and weep. Passion I see is catching, for mine eyes, seeing those beads of sorrow stand in thine, began to water. Is thy master coming?
He lies tonight within 7 leagues of Rome.
Post back with speed and tell him what hath chanced. Here is a mourning Rome, a dangerous Rome, no Rome of safety for Octavius yet. Hie hence and tell him so. Yet stay a while. Thou shalt not back till I have borne this corpse into the marketplace. There shall I try in my oration how the people take the cruel issue of these bloody men. According to the which, thou shalt discourse to young Octavius of the state of things.
Go you into the other street and part the numbers. Those that will hear me speak, let them stay here. Those that will follow Cassius, go with him. And public reason shall be rendered of Caesar's death.
I will hear Brutus speak.
I will hear Cassius and compare their reasons when severally we hear them render it.
The noble Brutus is ascending. Silence!
Patience till the last. Romans, countrymen and lovers, hear me for my cause, and be silent that you may hear. Believe me for mine honour, and have respect for mine honour that you may believe. Censure me in your wisdom, and awake your senses, that you may the better judge. If there be any in this assembly, any dear friend of Caesar's, to him I say that Brutus's love to Caesar was no less than his. If then that friend demand why Brutus rose against Caesar, this is my answer. Not that I loved Caesar less, but that I loved Rome more.
Had you rather Caesar were living and die all slaves than that Caesar were dead to live all free men? As Caesar loved me, I weep for him. As he was fortunate, I rejoice at it. As he was valiant, I honor him. But as he was ambitious, I slew him. There is tears for his love, joy for his fortune, honor for his valor, and death for his ambition. Who is here so base that would be a bondman? If any speak, for him have I offended. Who is here so rude that would not be a Roman? If any speak, for him have I offended. Who is here so vile that will not love his country? If any speak, for him have I offended. I pause for a reply.
None, Brutus, none!
Then none have I offended. I have done no more to Caesar than you shall do to Brutus. The question of his death is enrolled in the capital, his glory not extenuated, wherein he was worthy, nor his offences enforced, for which he suffered death. Here comes his body mourned by Mark Antony, who, though he had no hand in his death, shall receive the benefit of his dying, a place in the Commonwealth, as which of you shall not. With this I depart. That as I slew my best lover for the good of Rome, I have the same dagger for myself when it shall please my country to need my death. And for my sake, stay here with Antony. Do grace to Caesar's corpse, and grace his speech tending to Caesar's glories, which Mark Antony, by our permission, is allowed to make. I do entreat you, not a man depart, save I alone, till Antony have spoke.
Stay home, and let us hear Mark Antony. From the chair, we'll hear it. Noble Antony, go on.
For Brutus' sake, I am beholding to you.
What does he say of Brutus?
He says for Brutus' sake, he finds himself beholding to us all.
We're best to speak no harm of Brutus.
This Caesar was a tyrant.
Yeah, that's certain. We're best that Rome is rid of him.
Peace! Let us hear what Antony can say.
Beautiful Romans.
Let us hear it.
Friends! Romans! Countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is often turned with their bones. So let it be with Caesar. The noble Brutus has told you Caesar was ambitious. If it were so, it was a grievous fault. And grievously hath Caesar answered it. Here, under leave of Brutus and the rest, for Brutus is an honorable man, so are they all honorable men, come I to speak in Caesar's funeral. He was my friend, faithful and just to me, but Brutus says he was ambitious, and Brutus is an honorable man. He hath brought many captives home to Rome, whose ransoms did the general coffers fill. Did this in Caesar seem ambitious? When that the poor have cried, Caesar hath wept. Ambition should be made of sterner stuff. Yet Brutus says he was ambitious, and Brutus is an honorable man. You all did see that on the Lupercal I thrice presented him a kingly crown, which he did thrice refuse. Was this ambition? Yet Brutus says he was ambitious, and sure he is an honorable man. I speak not to disprove what Brutus spoke, but here I am to speak what I do know. You all did love him once, not without cause. What cause withholds you then to mourn for him? Oh, judgment, thou art fled to brutish beasts, and men have lost their reason. Bear with me. My heart is in the coffin there with Caesar, and I must pause till it come back to me.
Methinks there is much reason in his saying.
Here, the matter. Caesar has had great wrongs.
Does he, masters? I fear there will a worse come in his place.
Once his words, he would not take the crown. Therefore, it is certain he was not ambitious.
If it be found so, some will dearer by him.
His eyes are red as fire.
He's got a nobler man in Rome than Antony.
Now, mark him. He begins to get the speech.
But yesterday the word of Caesar might have stood against the world. Now lies he there, a nun so poor to do him reverence. Oh, masters, if I were disposed to stir your hearts and minds to mutiny and rage, I should do Brutus wrong and Cassius wrong, who you all know are honorable men. I will not do them wrong. I rather choose to wrong the dead, to wrong myself and you, then I will wrong such honorable men. But here's a parchment with the seal of Caesar. I found it in his closet. 'Tis his will. Let but the commons hear this testament, which, pardon me, I do not mean to read. And they would go and kiss dead Caesar's wounds, and dip their napkins in his sacred blood. Ye beg a hair of him for memory, and dying mention it within their wills, bequeathing it as a rich legacy unto their issue.
Hear the will! Read it!
Hear the will! Have patience, gentle friends! I must not read it! It is not meet you know how Caesar loved you. You are not wood. You are not stones, but men. Yes. And being men bearing the will of Caesar, it will inflame you, it will make you mad. 'Tis good you know not that you are his heirs. For if you should, oh, what should come of it?
Read the will! We'll hear it, Antony! You shall read the will!
Will you be patient? Will you stay a while? I have o'ershot myself to tell you of it. I fear I wrong the honorable men whose daggers have stabbed Caesar. I do fear it.
They were traitors!
You will compel me, then, to read the will?
Yes,
then make a ring about the corpse of Caesar, and let me show you him that made the will. Yes. Shall I descend?
Yes,
you give me leave!
Stand from the hearse! Stand from the bonnet! Stand round!
They press not so upon me. Stand far off! If you have tears, prepare to shed them now. You all do know this mantle. I remember the first time ever Caesar put it on. It was on a summer's evening in his tent. That day he overcame the Nervii. Look, in this place ran Cassius' dagger through. See what a rent the envious Casca made. Through this, the well-beloved Brutus stabbed. And as he plucked his cursed steel away, mark how the blood of Caesar followed it, as rushing out of doors to be resolved if Brutus so unkindly knocked or no. For Brutus, as you know, was Caesar's angel. Judge, O you gods, how dearly Caesar loved him. This was the most unkindest cut of all. For when the noble Caesar saw him stabbed, in gratitude, more strong than traitor's arms, quite vanquished him, then burst his mighty heart, and in his mantle, muffling up his face, even at the base of Pompey's statue, which all the while ran blood, great Caesar fell. Oh, what a fall was there, my countrymen. Then I, then you, and all of us fell down, whilst bloody treason flourished over us. Oh, now you weep, and I perceive you feel the dint of pity. These are gracious drops. Kind souls, what, weep you when you but behold our Caesar's vesture wounded? Look you here! Oh, here is himself, marred as you see with traitors.
Oh, piteous spectacle.
Traitors, villains.
Oh, most bloody sight!
Traitors!
Countrymen!
Here, but no mercy!
Good friends, sweet friends, let me not stir you up to such a sudden flood of mutiny. They that have done this deed are honorable. What private griefs they have, alas, I know not, that made them do it. They are wise and honorable, and will no doubt with reasons answer you. I come not, friends, to steal away your hearts. I am no orator, as Brutus is. But as you know me all, a plain, blunt man that love my friend. And that they know full well that gave me public leave to speak of him. For I have neither wit nor words, nor worth, action nor utterance, nor the power of speech to stir men's blood. I only speak right on. I tell you that which you yourselves do know. Show you sweet Caesar's wounds, poor dumb mouths, and bid them speak for me. But were I Brutus, and Brutus Antony, there were an Antony would ruffle up your spirits and put a tongue in every wound of Caesar that should move the stones of Rome to rise and mutiny! Why, friends, you go to do you know not what. Wherein hath Caesar thus deserved your loves? Alas, you know not. I must tell you, then, you have forgot the will I told you. Here is the will, and under Caesar's seal. To every Roman citizen he gives, to every several man, 75 drachmas!
Oh, we will revenge his death!
Hear me with patience! Moreover, he hath left you all his walks, his private arbors and new planted orchards on this side Tiber. He hath left them you and to your heirs forever. Common pleasures to walk abroad and recreate yourselves. Here was a Caesar. When comes such another?
Never! Never! Come away, away! We'll turn his body over! And with a brand of fire that sight is
high! Now let it work. Mischief thou art afoot. Take thou what course thou wilt. How now, fellow?
Sir, Octavius has already come to Rome.
Where is he?
He and Lepidus are at Caesar's house.
And thither will I straight to visit him. He comes upon a wish. Fortune is merry, and in this mood will give us anything.
I heard him say, Brutus and Cassius are rid like madmen through the gates of Rome.
Belike they had some notice of the people, how I had moved them. Bring me to Octavius.
I dreamt tonight that I did feast with Caesar, and things unlucky charge my fantasy. I have no will to wander forth at doors, yet something leads me forth.
What is your name?
Whither are you going?
Where do you dwell?
Are you a married man or a bachelor?
Answer every man directly.
Aye, and briefly.
Aye, and wisely.
Aye, and truly your best.
What is my name? Whither am I going? Where do I dwell? Am I a married man or a bachelor? Then to answer every man directly and briefly, wisely and truly wisely, I say, I am a bachelor.
That's as much as to say they are fools that marry. You'll bear me a bang for that. That's my fear. Proceed directly.
Directly, I am going to Caesar's funeral.
As a friend or an enemy?
As a friend.
The matter is answered directly.
If you're dwelling, briefly.
Briefly, I dwell by the Capitol.
Your name, sir, truly?
Truly, my name is Cinna.
Tear him to pieces. He's a conspirator.
I am Cinna the poet. I am Cinna the poet.
Tear him for his bad verses. Tear him for his bad verses.
I am not Cinna the conspirator.
No matter. His name is Cinna. Knock but his name back in his heart and turn him down. Tear him. Come, Branso. Firebrands. To Brutus, to Cassius, burn all. Some to Decius' house and some to Casca's. Some to Ligarius. Away, go.
And you can hear the final part of Julius Caesar at the same time tomorrow on Radio 4 or right now on the BBC iPlayer. After the news, Moneybox Live discusses social care and whether we can afford it.
BBC News at 3 o'clock. David Cameron has said the government is prepared to take in some of the unaccompanied children who fled to other European countries from Syria. He'd been facing defeat on the issues when MPs vote next week. Downing Street said the scheme would apply only to children who'd registered in Greece, Italy or France before the EU reached a deal in March to return migrants to Turkey. Mr Cameron said the government would speak to local authorities to see how many could be resettled. David Simmons of the Local Government Association said funding would be critical.
Provided there's sufficient funding in the system to provide the homes to secure the foster care support, we can make sure that people are integrated into life in the UK in a very seamless way. But those discussions need to go on because we need to make sure no council has to choose between providing social care for frail adults or maintaining libraries and supporting vulnerable refugee children.
The European Commission has recommended easing some visa requirements for travellers from Turkey to the Schengen passport-free area. The proposal is part of the deal to reduce the number of migrants crossing the Aegean to Greece. It needs the approval of both the majority of EU leaders and the European Parliament and won't apply to the UK. A woman who murdered a toddler less than a year after being made her legal guardian has been given a life sentence with a minimum prison term of 18 years. The judge at Birmingham Crown Court told 34-year-old Candice Downer that she'd shown no remorse for her brutal attacks on Keegan Downer, who was 18 months old when she died. Police in Devon are carrying out an intensive search at the former home of a couple who were imprisoned last year for a series of paedophile offences. David and Pauline Williams, who live near Columpton, had been friends of the serial killers Fred and Rose West. The German government has agreed to allow cannabis to be prescribed to people who are seriously ill if no other treatment is available. The draft law is expected to come into force next spring. BBC News.
Why are theatre and film directors turning to psychologists? All in the Mind investigates in half an hour. But right now it's time for Moneybox Live with Leslie Cohen.
Hello. More evidence emerged today of the pressures on care homes. It's estimated one in four care homes in the UK is in danger of going bust within 3 years because of high debt levels and too few profits, according to research by Radio 4's You and Yours. Their finances are being squeezed by the rising costs of employing people, including the new national living wage. But there's a bigger picture too. Public spending on social care is under huge pressure. In other words, how much is spent on supporting elderly and disabled people in their own homes and in residential care. Local government representatives argue that extra funding for social care has come too little too late. So if our current system of social care isn't working properly, where should the money come from? From us as individuals, from insurance products perhaps, or even from new taxes? Call us with your question or your opinion on 03700 100 444. Geographic call charges will apply to your call. Joining me is Councillor David Simmons, who's Deputy Chairman of the Local Government Association.